Hi, this is Jeffrey Hoppe. Welcome to the Abundance Clinic featuring Adamas St. Germain. We filmed this at the Crimson Circle Connection Center in Louisville, Colorado. You're welcome to distribute Adamas' Abundance Clinic, include it on your website, or use it as a part of your work, as long as you use it in its entirety. To stay consistent with the energy of this Abundance Clinic, it must be offered free of charge, including any language translations. For more information about Crimson Circle or this Abundance Clinic, go to crimsoncircle.com. Now take a good deep breath, sit back, relax, and enjoy Adamas St. Germain's Abundance Clinic.
The invitation, of course, is this now moment, that we're going to breathe in this now moment, that conscious breath. You breathe all the time, but when we stop like this in the now moment, you allow this conscious breath to flow. It's your breath. It's our breath. No one can do it for you. Only you can do it. So please, I invite each of us to take the deep breath, to take it fully into you, filling your body. Your body can feel it. And it's your body knows that you choose life when you take this deep and conscious breath. Breathe deeply from the soul of you. When you breathe present and in this now moment, you can feel your soul flow with you. So breathe and receive. This is a very, very special moment. Our breath. The now. I invite you to flow and open to this experience because this is the topic of abundance. Can you flow with abundance? Can you allow yourself to really feel this experience? Feel Adamas as he moves in close, here for each and every one of us if we choose. So breathe and open all your senses. And the music will play. And I invite you to just allow the breath and the energy to flow with you and the music. So breathe. Breathe and feel. Breathe and open to this experience. Breathe. Breathe.
Thank you.
am that I am. Adamus, of sovereign and free domain. Welcome to the Abundance Clinic. Welcome to this gathering of humans facing what you consider one of the most difficult issues: abundance, money, gifts, receiving. I've got a bit of a pet peeve that's an annoyance about abundance workshops. And one of the reasons why I haven't done one until now, the annoyance is that most of them are mental. Now, today we're going to talk through a lot of concepts, issues, philosophies, but those are really more of a distraction than anything. Yes, listen to the words, but all this time, we're going to be moving some energy. We're going to be shifting some consciousness because you're allowing it. The words, again, interesting, but the real dynamic of what's going on here is your choice, your willingness to move beyond. That being said, about 18% of you who are listening or here truly, truly want to move out of this issue of lack. And then there's a lot of you that are just thinking about it. I can feel the mental energy. I can feel the thinking. You're lost in your own thinking. So we're going to ask you right now to make a choice. Either move out of this lack consciousness, to move out of this stuck mental energy, or simply walk out, tune out, leave now. Because otherwise, we're going to be going into some interesting and deep consciousness and energy. But if you're not really sure, if you're just testing the waters, if you want to see if this is some new gimmick or a game, it's actually going to hurt because you're going to get enough information that it's going to cause some internal movements of consciousness and also internal movements in the mind and the body, and then it's going to hurt. Well, it's going to get frustrating. You might even get a little bit ill or even very ill, even more confused and more stuck than ever. So I'm going to ask before we go any further to take a good, honest look within yourself. Are you really ready to move beyond this stuck energy? Are you ready to move beyond lifetimes of lack? Are you ready to move beyond the just enough consciousness? Are you ready to give to yourself? Take a moment to feel into that. Immediately the mind says, oh yes, yes, I'm desperate. Desperate to move on. But that being said, if you are in any form of lack right now in your life, it's there for a reason. You are allowing it to serve you. It's not there because of some aliens. It's not there because of a government conspiracy. It's not there because you're stupid. None of those things. It's there because somehow it's serving you. So take a look at how that lack has been serving you. How it's been serving every part of your life. Now, I know you're going to say initially, Linda, would you turn that down a little bit? You're going to say initially that, no, I'm truly ready, and this energy is not serving me, and it's not mine. But you've adopted it. You've allowed it. It's there. You've let it ride along with you. You've let it be an overriding element in your everyday life. It's serving you. It's serving you. Maybe not in the most pleasurable way, but at some level, it's absolutely serving you. How? Why? And feel into it without a lot of mental thought, but feel into this lack, how it's serving you. And more than anything, what would it feel like not to have that in your life? And we're going to talk about abundance today. And so many of you said, yes, yes, I this is something I'd like. I have some bills to pay. I have some things I'd like to do. But in fact, most of you have not made a conscious choice. Most of you say, I don't like this lack. Well, that's not a conscious choice. That's expressing a judgment or a dislike, and generally in a pretty unconscious way. Making a clear, conscious choice is being in the now moment, right now, right here, affirming to yourself that you are ready to receive the gifts, that life, that energy, and that you have to offer without any ifs, ands, or buts, without any excuses, without any holding back, without any reservation whatsoever. I choose abundance, period. That's it. It's not, well, I think so, and if I just had $1,000, none of that, my friends. A heartfelt, passionate choice is as simple as saying, I choose abundance. I am abundant. And it's not a mental thing. Not a mental thing. By the way, we're going to learn, you're going to discover that abundance is in the now moment. There is no abundance in the past, and there is no abundance in the future. It's only in the now moment. There are those who believe in stockpiling abundance for the future. Therefore, they put a lot of money in the bank or invest in the markets, but never actually bring it into their now. Now, that's one of the issues that comes up so often. There's these rich people, and they have all this money in the bank, and in the ones that some of you are even envious of. But the fact is, are they really abundant? Just because they have a lot of money in the bank doesn't mean they are living abundantly in joy. They've put their abundance into the future, and they're not experiencing it in the now. There are some who have abundance in the past, a lot of great memories of things that have happened before, maybe even times that were a little bit more abundant. But it's in the past, and they live in that past, but yet their now moment is filled with lack. They keep going to the past, going back into history, instead of receiving the gift of their own abundance in the now moment. So that's an important point. I'm going to ask dear Linda of ISA to write that on her interesting mechanical writing board. They took away my writing board, the traditional paper and pad, and now they've replaced me with an electronic writing board. Oh, I love technology. No, this gives you something to really focus on. And she loves doing it. So if we could put that on the screens at all as well. So abundance is in the now moment. This is a very important point. Abundance in the now moment. It's not in the past. It's not in the future. I have a pet peeve about abundance workshops because they are generally given by people who are really not abundant, at least in the now moment. They're generally given by people who are desperate for abundance themselves. So what do? They conjure up an abundance class to make a few bucks, and then they go broke later. Most abundance classes are mental. Mental. They focus on things like visualization or affirmation. That comes from the mind. There's little or no passion in things that come from the mind. Therefore, it does not attract energy. There are those who have, there's the law of attraction. Interesting, it's a good step, but it's limited in its own way. Because if it is a mental exercise, you're going to attract mental things. A true abundance comes from passion. Next slide. True abundance comes from passion. Passion. The passion to live attracts energy. And that's what we're going to get into in this abundance clinic. There's been so many abundance classes that many of you have taken. Short-term results, perhaps, on a good day. Short-term results. But are you really living abundantly after those? Or was it somebody else's method or scheme? Again, today, I'm going to be going through information, but I'm really just distracting so that you can feel into the abundance of your soul, so that you can go beyond some of the misperceptions about money and about abundance itself, so that you can be forgiving. We did a wonderful session yesterday. It was about Pronos. It was talking about the upcoming world events, but we came to the point of talking about forgiving. Forgiving yourself, letting the past go, everything about it, not 80% of the past, not 90% of the past, but 100%. And some would say that's a form of denial, but I say that it's releasing stuck energy so that you can now feel into what really happened in the past. The moment you forgive yourself, release yourself from misconceptions and illusions about anything in the past, then you are in a time and a space and a consciousness of forgiving, being in a place of giving to yourself, receiving all the gifts that life has to offer. It's that simple. Let's take a deep breath as we go into our first segment of the discussion. Some of this information that many of you are familiar with, but for the newcomers, I'll do a review. Very important, some basics about energy and consciousness. First of all, next slide, next drawing. Let's see how she does. First of all, we have this thing called consciousness. We symbolize it with the circumpunct or the dotted circle. Linda's going to, yes, what artistic talent, the interesting circle. And this is a symbol for consciousness. This is you. The dot in the middle connotates source, the I am-ness, your origins. The circle on the outside represents the expansion that you have done of your soul through all the experiences and all the lifetimes. Very simple. The interesting thing about this consciousness. Consciousness, by the way, is awareness. It's not intelligence. Right? It's not thought. It's awareness, perception. This consciousness, you, contain absolutely no energy whatsoever. There's a huge misunderstanding about you as an energy being. You're not. You are consciousness. And when you can tie back into that consciousness, that core, when you can get past thoughts and even concepts of energy and get back into the consciousness, this is you. This is the passion. This is the source. So please take a moment to feel into yourself as a being of consciousness. You have a body. You have a mind that were brought together by a variety of dynamics, all that brought in energy. But you are not energy. You're not your body. You're not your mind. You're consciousness. That's all. Consciousness knows no time. Consciousness knows no details, facts, and figures. It doesn't need to. Your soul, your consciousness, strips out all of the details, time, places, and everything else, and extracts the wisdom of every experience you've had. Whether you consider it to be good or bad, the soul cares not. It extracts the wisdom and drinks in this golden drop of nectar into its being, and then rejoices. Ah, no matter what you think about the experience or what you've done, the soul cares not. It's only the wisdom. Next, energy. Energy is all around you. Energy was created out of the passion of the soul, out of consciousness itself. It condensed it. It compacted it. It squeezed it so hard under tremendous the pressure, the beautiful pressure of passion, that it created this thing called energy. And it sent that energy out into creation to serve you. You created energy. It's no longer consciousness. It's energy. And it's everywhere. Don't just think in terms of this physical dimension, but think in terms of all the dimensions. There's energy everywhere. There's energy that's uniquely attached to you, to your soul, that's only yours, that can never be taken away by any other person, a god, or any other being, ever. It's yours. It's your core energy. There's other levels of energy, cosmic energy, crystalline energy, and finally, earth energy. But they all come from the same source, the passion of the soul to experience. You bring in energy into your reality. Use to manifest your reality all the time, no matter what's happening. Even when you're feeling low energy, you're still bringing in energy. You are like a magnet that attracts energy, not through your thoughts, but through your passion. Your passion is generally very different than your thoughts. When we do our new updated passion workshop, you can put that on the list, Linda. We're going to talk about the difference between thought and passion, and you'll come to see they're very, very different. That's why sometimes while you think that your life should go this way, your life really goes that way, and you wonder what's happening. You say, well, the gods must be demanding it, or the stars, or whatever, other people. No, it's simply the difference between human thought and soul passion that's causing these differences in your life. But that's a whole nother session. We will charge for that. Very nice artistic drawing, dear Linda.
I'm working it. I'm learning how to use this.
So there's energy everywhere. Energy at its core is free. Energy is free. It's everywhere. There's some that say there's this unified field of energy, and it kind of is. It's all over. It's everywhere. It's in the air around you. It's in your body. But when you think of energy, you tend to think of physical energy. And at the core of physical energy, or what you use on this planet, when you think of energy and you think of fuel, you think of fire. That's how this planet is energized, and it's really weird, and it's very, very old, and it's time that that changed. Fire. Fire is the energy. You burn things to create energy, to propel your automobiles, to power your power plants, to get electricity through the wires. Things are burned, and if they're not burned, they're collided, they're smashed, or they're exploded. That's energy on this planet, and it's very archaic. You're going to look back, whether it's in this lifetime or beyond, and you're going to say, now, that was kind of strange that we were still using fire, something that we did millions and millions of years ago, but still as our core energy, either fire or explosion. It's an interesting metaphor. It's an interesting symbol of the times and a symbol of the consciousness of humanity. You're still using fire in your own life, in a way, in your life experiences. You're still using explosions and collisions to create energy in your life. It's so ingrained in you, you can't even think of anything else. And until I mentioned it just now, most of you were not consciously aware of it. It's like, wow, that's right. We have to smash things together to create new things. No, you don't. Energy does not need collision. It simply needs consciousness calling it forth. It doesn't have to burn hot. It doesn't have to smash or collide. Fires, as we've talked about in some of our recent gatherings, the fire of the passion of the soul is not a hot fire. It's a cool fire. But ultimately, you'll discover that things don't need to burn in order to have energy. Energy is attracted from the passion of the soul, which very, very few humans really tap into. They tap into drama, they tap into fear, and occasionally enjoy, but very seldom do they tap into the passion of the soul. The true passion of the soul has been covered up, it's been hypnotized, it's been programmed, it's been so put under and forgotten about. It's actually difficult to get it back rising again, but once it does, you'll never be the same. Once it does, you'll have so much energy that you won't know what to do with it. When energy is, by the way, question just came up from someone, and I'm not going to answer all your telepathic questions, but you say, what is the new energy? If the old energy is burning and flame and collision, what is the new energy? Well, it's all around you. And the new energy is light. And don't think in terms of the light bulbs, but the new energy is light. But yet you have to combine dark, the dark with the light. And I'm not talking about your metaphysical evil forces or anything like that. I'm talking about this principle, this physics of cosmic light. It's everywhere. It's not the light of the sun or of the light bulbs, but light being basically
energy that's been activated by passion becomes light. And it comes through the dimensions and it comes through the cosmos. And as it comes closer and closer to this planet, it is basically chunked down, or it is densed down. But ultimately, it's still light. And that's the true energy source. It's everywhere around you. But it has to be combined with the dark in order to create the effect of true energy. It's all around. It's free. It doesn't have to be burned. It's easy. Physicists don't see it yet. They don't quite understand the dynamics of light because they're looking at mostly at visual light, or light that falls within the known spectrum of science. But beyond that, at a higher frequency, we could say, is true light, and that's the energy. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. But back to the point. Energy is everywhere around you. It is, and I'm going to say this in a simplistic form, but it is basically in a negative and positive form. It doesn't mean good or bad. It's just two differing forces. It's brought in by the passion. Brought to this earth by the passion of humanity. Brought to you in your life by the passion of your own soul. And it's brought in different ratios of positive and negative particles. Particles, not the right word, but the best one I can come up with. And that flows into your life, flows into your body, flows into your reality, and it manifests things like money and cars and food and thought and frequency and vibration and everything else that you see in your reality. It's brought, this light is brought into what I would consider the densest dimension in all of creation. Quite an accomplishment, bringing it in here. Quite an accomplishment watching as it comes from the other dimensions in its pure light form, now gathering the positive and negative particles, and it comes down into this very dense dimension, and it turns into water and soil and air and all these other things. Very interesting phenomena. Now, it's important to point out the principles of energy in order to understand abundance. Remember, your consciousness, you're not energy. You're not that body or that mind. Your consciousness. And in our second session today, we're going to get into the consciousness and the passion. Let you perhaps feel it again. That will start bringing in a lot of energy and a lot of abundance. But back to the original question. And you don't have to answer this out loud, but back to the original question, are you really committed to an abundant, joyful life? Is it your heartfelt choice, not a mind choice? Because all of your minds say, yes, geez, I'm in this tight jam and I have to get some money and I've got to pay my bills. Nah, 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 nah. You're having fun playing that game. You really are. Trust me, you are. If, by the way, if there's anything in your life, some of you will get mad at me, but if there's anything in your life, whether it's a lack of money, whether it's a lack of friends, illness, or anything else, it's there because you want it to be. It is. I know some of you are cussing at me right now, but you want it to be. Otherwise, it wouldn't be there. This is one of the very simple principles of spiritual existence. If it's there, you must want it there. And you say, but no, I don't want this. Well, yeah, actually you do, because you don't want the alternative. So you're putting in something, might be a little uncomfortable. You don't want the alternative. You don't want true abundance. Why? Because you'd have to wake up. You don't want true health. Why? Because then you couldn't be a, can I use bad words? It would, no, thank you, Edith. Then you couldn't be a damn victim anymore. How was that? Was that mild enough? Yes. Then you couldn't be a damn victim anymore. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know you're saying, no, but this wasn't my fault. Yeah, yeah. Actually, if it's there in your life, serving a purpose, or at least then you don't have to face the alternative. What if What if life was truly abundant and truly easy? What if you had tremendous amounts of energy? What if? Well, it'd mean that you couldn't play games anymore. You couldn't be the victim anymore. You couldn't walk around with a poor me mentality anymore. You wouldn't have any excuses. You would have to be an embodied master. Mm. You would have to be a living God. That's a lot of pressure, but not really. So before we go any further, I want to go to the end. I like doing that. Instead of taking this linear progression, let's just go to the end.
New slide.
Not quite yet. I like that slide. So artistic. Is that a boy or a girl?
You're reading my mind. I wasn't sure,
that
and
it
I stopped
might be a boy.
You want it to be a boy?
We could show that on the screen for a moment. I'm not sure. Let's go. Thank you. Let's go now to the end. Because that's truly how things work. You live in time. You live in. Let's take that off the screen. You are programmed into a linear reality. Today, tomorrow, the next day, and things progressing. But in fact, real life beyond the consciousness of Earth isn't really like that. Isn't like that at all. There is no time. You can go to the end and then go back to the beginning. I call it the Merlin effect. It's basically saying, let's go to that point where this clinic is done, where something has touched you deeply. You have touched you deeply. I'm perhaps helping to inspire a bit, but distract more than anything. Something has really touched you. Something has really clicked. And suddenly you realize it is time. Time to live abundantly. Time to get out of your damn head. Time to stop thinking about abundance. And time to stop making excuses about abundance. Time to stop letting other people influence your lack of abundance. Time for all that to end. Mm. You've let it go. Take a moment. Take a good deep breath. We finished. It's all done. You've had that profound, touching moment that you were hoping to have. And the funny thing is, it doesn't have to occur during this clinic. It can occur a week later. Doesn't really matter. But you've had that profound, touching moment. It fills your body. You get those chills up and down your body. You're almost aghast or astounded at how simple this was, but how difficult that you actually made it. Suddenly, all the parts and pieces seem to come together. Suddenly, you realize how you've lived a life of lack of abundance, and it's like a tired old suit. It's time to turn it in. It's time to donate it, at least the energy of it, to something else. Now you're at a crucial point here because you have realization, you have consciousness that you might have not had clearly before. You're at a crucial point because now you have to make that real decision. You have the consciousness, the realization that you don't need this anymore. But something is holding you back. Something, it seems to be something still stuck like a rubber band effect, a big rubber band around you, and it seems to pull you back. It's these voices of the past. It's the voices of lack. It's the voices of guilt. What if I have more than what other people have? What if I have to live abundantly? What if I have to come out of my inner shell? What if I have to come forth as a truly embodied master? So these issues you face at this moment, what to do? Well, I'm going to be there with you at that moment, whether the moment is now or later. And the one thing I'm not going to let you do is procrastinate. In other words, to say to yourself, oh, what an amazing moment. It's like I have so much clarity. It's all here. I have knowing this. But what do I do? What do I do? I'm going to be there right there with you saying, you have to make a decision right now. No more saying, I don't know. It doesn't work. No more saying, I'll think about it. Thinking is just thinking. No more procrastinating. You either do or you don't. And I don't care. I do not care. The other angelic beings don't care. Your family doesn't care. Nobody cares which decision you make. Only you. Even your aspects, your past life aspects, they kind of, well, they do care. Actually, they're going to try to influence you to just think about it. Because you realize once you make that decision to move forward into abundance, they have to integrate back with you. They can't play their games anymore. You can't have all these charades going on. It's time to get real. So here we are at this moment of truth, this moment of decision, what to do. You get caught up in the thinking. That's very natural. You get caught up in the thinking. You get confused. You get cloudy. And it's like, well, I took the abundance class, and I'm not sure. What did he tell me to do? What am I supposed to do right now? You stop. You take a deep breath. You feel into the passion of your soul. That will give you the answer right then and there. The passion of the soul. And you're going to feel it. I don't want to put words into your head, but you're going to feel the soul saying, I want to live. I want to experience. I want to go beyond just enough. And you take a deep breath. And you make your decision. Either I am abundant, or I'll go back and play the old game for a while. But please don't say, I don't know, or I'll think about it. It's as simple at that moment, as simple as saying, I choose abundance. Boom. Okay, let's come back now to here. It's that simple. Now, let's talk about some of the perceptions about abundance. Linda, a new slide, perceptions, and actually misperceptions, but for things that you hold on to, they're belief systems that are ingrained. We're not going to fight these belief systems. We're not going to try to overcome them or wrestle with them. It's just about being aware of some simple, simple belief systems. Number one on the list, beliefs, this is perceptions. Title it Perceptions. And I'll state a few, and then I'll ask for your input. But perceptions about money. One of them is that money or energy is limited. Limited. I mean, you've lived that way. You've heard your parents say, well, we don't have enough money to buy you this or buy you that. We don't have enough money to pay for your college. You have to always save up for a rainy day. It's like there is a limitation to energy, and there's really not. There is more energy that I'm in my hand, in Calder's hand right now. And there's more energy in his hand to power this whole community for months of time. And this is just a little part of all creation. Can you imagine all the energy? There's so much energy that if all the soul beings in all of creation all use the maximum amount of energy that they could possibly imagine, they're going to use a small fraction of all the energy that's available, because energy originally came from the passion of the soul. And that passion of the soul is so grand, there's just a lot of energy. You could never use the amount of energy in your life that you could even imagine. You could never use the amount of energy in your life that would even make a tiny, little, tiny, tiny dent on the energy that's available on this planet. So get over it. There's a lot of energy out there, everywhere. You're never going to take energy from another person or deprive them of their energy. There's this kind of martyr consciousness that some of you have. Well, if I use too much, I'm depriving somebody else. No, you're not. There's a lot of energy. Okay, another perception, or better stated, misperception. Energy is the root of all evil. Well, who came up with that? Well, pretty simple. People that wanted to control. People that were rich said that.
Energy is evil?
Money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. But it gets put into your brain. It's a hypnotic overlay, and then you just believe it, even if you don't remember it, even if you're not thinking about it consciously. But money is the root of evil. It was rich people that came up with that. Pretty smart, these rich people, to say that, or organizations or groups or churches or anything else, because, huh, boy, if everybody had stuff, they're going to want to take mine, and I'm not going to be the rich guy. I'm not going to be on top of the mountain. So I'm going to say money is the root of all evil. But it's not. Money, abundance, is simply gifting yourself. Simply giving to yourself. And don't feel selfish about it. The true master in the new energy, the true new energy teacher, should be wildly abundant. Should have a nice car that doesn't break down. And you don't have to have a Rolls Royce with a chauffeur, although it is kind of nice. But at least a car that's not breaking down. You should be able to buy a new car every year, every 2 years, every 3 years. You shouldn't be driving around in a wreck. Think of it this way. Think of this. You have a responsibility because you said that you want to be embodied masters. You're going to be the standard for others. They're going to be looking to you. They're going to be looking at what kind of example you're setting. They're going to be looking to see if you're real. And if you show up with a beat up, rusted out, smoky car that makes a lot of noise, it's going to absolutely turn them off because it's not what they aspire to have. Clothes, food, a nice house. It's going to be tough living as an embodied master in this old energy world. There's a lot of rough vibration out there, and it's going to get rougher. These next few years are going to be really tough. You want a home that you can go to, or a flat, or whatever it is, but I kind of like homes, with nature, with a nice yard that's all yours, where you can garden, where you can dig, where you can do whatever. You're going to need it for your rejuvenation. If you live in a noisy apartment with noisy neighbors and you can't find a parking spot and the building people don't take care of the maintenance issues, this depletes you. This tires you out. This throws you back into a very old dynamic. So I want you to have a nice home. A very nice home with nice furniture, because when I come to visit, I don't want to sit in some old chair, dirty chair. Old stuff carries a lot of old energy and old vibrations, and no, I just don't like that. So you'll understand if I stand outside the door. It's just time to get some new furniture. You need to have money so that you can instantly call up the airlines and book a first-class ticket to somewhere, because you're needed. Your light is needed somewhere in the world, somewhere even just down the street. You need to be able to travel in comfort. It's not excess. It's not anything. Everybody should travel first class, but a lot of people are choosing not to. You should travel in a way that's becoming of a master. Please, next misperception, by the way, is that the master is poor. The master has no physical belongings because these things are bad. I doubt it. I doubt it. I had many palaces, not just little apartments, not just a little hovel somewhere. I didn't live in hovels. I had castles, and I had servants, and I was proud to have servants. Guess what? It's only the master that can be in service. Everybody else is but a servant, meaning that the master is in the truest level of service, without agenda, with total compassion, but the truest level. And the master allows all energies to serve them. You might write that down. This is not a misperception. Sure. I've said it before in our groups, but the master allows energy to serve them. This is the definition of grace, allowing energy to serve you. I had servants. I was proud of it. I paid them well. I treated them exceptionally well. They were fortunate simply to be in my presence. And that's not a joke. And I want you to start feeling that. They were fortunate to be in my presence. Because I am constantly, as you will constantly be doing, radiating the light of love, of compassion, of balance. So yes, indeed, anyone who you come in contact with is blessed. There's an automatic blessing that's there. Automatic blessing. You don't even have to do anything, just them being in your presence. So, my dear friends, you want to be abundant. It's truly, I'm going to say, a requirement of the new embodied master. This whole thing of the master, the guru, being without worldly possessions, that was for an era gone past, a bygone era. That's, and some of them did, because they were challenged with, they felt that the physical joys of life were a distraction. There was a consciousness back then that physical is bad, that the body is bad, that it's going to do things like eat and poop and have sex and all the other things. So there was a denial of the body. But every one of them, and including Kuthumi and Buddha and all of the rest of them, came to realize that the body is to be loved and integrated and enjoyed and have pleasure with it. It wasn't to be denied. Worldly goods are to be enjoyed. Some of you have had past life experiences where you've been very rich and you've abused the power. And you feel really guilty about it. You are so abusive. It wasn't the money. It was your power. Or maybe money was power to the power game, but you've now shut off that money flow because you're afraid you're going to abuse it. I can tell you right now, you're not going to, even if you try to. You can't. You simply can't. When you reach a point of consciousness, you can no longer abuse it. It's offensive. It's appalling. You wouldn't want to do it. You're going to have a lot of abundance, and you're going to share it, not out of guilt. You're just going to share it because. And it'll keep flowing in, and you're not going to abuse it. You have too much consciousness right now about things like power. Power is an illusion. You don't need power. Power is for people who don't realize that everything is already within. Other misperceptions about abundance, or let's talk just money. Another one, you have to be intelligent. You have to have a good education. You have to have come from a good family, or you have to understand finances. Not at all. Not at all. In my lifetime, my last lifetime at St. Germain, I attended mystery schools when I was very young, but there wasn't a lot of what you would call regular education. I learned mathematics, but more on a cosmic level, not on a mundane earth level. I wasn't schooled in finances at all. I never in my lifetime at St. Germain had a job. How appalling. How disgusting. Truly, I disgusting. I couldn't imagine it. And I joke sometimes, but it's not such a joke. To me, the epitome of mediocrity is having a business card, a job title, that you're a mid-level manager. You work in a cubicle, you're a mid-level manager. My dear God, I thought that my crystal prison of 100,000 years was difficult, but I do think that a mid-level manager stuck in a cubicle is even worse. I never had a job in my life, never worked for anyone. And not that there's anything wrong with jobs. Well, yeah, kind of there is. You're going to end up working for yourself. And it doesn't mean to go out and quit your job today, but you are. When your consciousness comes around, you're going to end up being your own boss. Never had a job, but I had plenty of money. A lot of money. I actually, this is the first time I've told this story, but I actually do not remember where the money came from. Now, isn't that odd? I had what would be considered today. I would have been a billionaire, multi-billionaire back then. I didn't work. I don't remember where the money came from. I was never beholden to anyone. I assume people gave me money or things. I don't remember. But I wasn't beholden to them. I wasn't their slave. If they gave me great sums of money, I don't know. I didn't have anybody manage my money for me. But it was always there. I rode in elegant coaches. Why not? I had the finest horses, loved horses. Meals, I mostly ate ground oats with honey and nuts, but I could have afforded huge banquets, and I did throw great parties with the best French wine, only French wine. But yet, I did not know where my money came from. I couldn't even keep track of all of my land holdings, my properties. I didn't feel a bit guilty about it. And you would feel guilty. Immediately, you would start putting limits, saying, well, I can only have two castles, and I have to know all the names of my servants. Well, I can't have servants. Yeah, you can. I call them employees. It's the same thing. But treat them well, obviously. Treat them well. Pay them well. Pay them really, really well. So, dear friends.
You sound like Forrest Gump.
So, you don't have to have the education, intelligence, financial background. Actually, it's a little bit of a hindrance because then you get too intellectual about it. You limit yourself before you ever get going. You stop the flow. You don't need that. Doesn't matter if you never graduated from high school. It doesn't matter if you don't know anything about business. You know what? Abundance doesn't know anything about business. Consciousness doesn't give a damn about business. You don't have to have that background. There are those who will tell you that you do. In order to make money, you have to work hard. That's another one on our list of, you don't have to work hard. Maybe you want to work hard. You don't have to work hard. You'll probably have to do something. In other words, you can't just sit in the throne in your castle all the time. Well, you could, but you'll get kind of bored. You want to get up and, well, make the effort to step into your coach, or in this case, a fancy car, and drive it down the street, unless you have a chauffeur. But you don't have to work hard. Get over that one. That one was instilled in so many of you by parents and teachers. No, and you don't even have to work smart. You just have to let that abundance flow in. That's all. That's all. And without feeling guilty about it, without feeling shame, without feeling wondering whether you deserve it or not. Other misperceptions about money, What are they? What are some of your misperceptions? How about the one that's sitting right in front of you right now? The one that it's tied into some of the other ones we talked about, but if you're doing spiritual work, you can't charge for it.
Ooh.
Oh, that is sick. That is just plain, disgusting sick. And who's saying that? It's the people without any money that want to feed off of you, that are manipulating you, that say, well, but this is spiritual work. It should be free. I doubt it. It should be more expensive than anything on this planet. It should be the most expensive thing, and you should make them want it so much that they manifest the money by miracle. I know so many of you have problems manifesting enough money for a meal sometimes, but yet if there's really a class you want to go to, it's really weird. And suddenly the money is there, and you're like, how did that show up? Where'd that come from? And then you take the class. Have you stopped to feel? It was the passion. So I got to take that class. It's also a little bit of an addiction, a little bit of a sickness that you have to take that class. No, you don't. No. But at least it showed you something. With little passion, you can manifest. But then you got back into the old patterns. Spirituality. I don't care what it is. Spirituality or anything that you do. Whether you're a woodworker, whether you're an accountant or anything, charge a lot for it. Whatever you're charging right now, if you are doing work independent, please double it before we finish today. Please double your rates. Oh, how could I do that, you say? People are barely willing to pay. Well, then you got the wrong people. You truly have the wrong people that want your service. And a lot of it, there's a lot of feeding going on. You think it has to be cheaper. You give it away. Then you get the people who really don't want change. They just want to feed on your energy. Get real about it. They don't love you. They just want to feed off you. And they tell you, you're the best teacher I ever had. If it wasn't for you, I don't think I could stay on this planet. Huh? Because once they tire you, wear you out, they're going to go down the street to the next cheapo facilitator and drain them, and then the next, and the next. And they're going to forget your name by the end of the day. Double your rates, have a little self-worth, and then after that, double them again. And you're going to find that suddenly you're attracting, a big word, attracting, the right people, and they're willing to pay for it. And suddenly you're abundant, and suddenly you're a better teacher, and suddenly you can give them even better advice, where it doesn't take years and years and years of therapy. You can do a transformation with them if they are willing. Do a transformation just like that. And then somebody will start to complain and say, well, it only took 5 minutes for you to change my life, but geez, you just charged $2,000. And you say, yeah, next time it's going to be $10,000. Hey, there's a dynamic in it, and it has nothing to do with greed. That's another perception. You have to be greedy if you want money. You're a greedy person. No, you're not. You're a wise person. You're a person who's enjoying life. If others don't choose to have abundance, don't choose to enjoy life, that's their issue, not yours. You're choosing to enjoy life. This is probably going to be one of the last lifetimes, probably the last lifetime for a lot of you on this planet. Boy, if I were you, and I was, I would want it to be abundant. I would want to travel. I would want a nice house. I would want to be able to give to charity when I wanted to. I would want to be able to throw lavish parties for my friends. I would want to do it not because I was greedy or because I was being arrogant, but I would want to do it because, A, this is my last lifetime on this planet, I'd want to go out right, and B, I'd want to leave a shining example of an abundant life so others could follow suit. Let's take a good deep breath. We're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and talk about patterns. And then we're going to get into the passion of the soul. I am ever present and ever abundant. And by the way, I do have to mention, it is a little difficult on me. A little difficult, I have to say, when you call on me, invite me into your house. And, well, it's not as elegant as what I would like. So, with that, I am Adamus in service.
So, please, just take a few deep breaths. Flow with the consciousness, the energy that Adamus is flowing to us, flowing for each of us. Just take that deep breath. Reflect on what you heard, what you felt. What does it mean to you? Just be with the breath. Stay with the flow. Just allow the energy to move and flow with each breath. And so it is. Thank you.